end of this service, we're going to take up a special collection to send and Linda out of this country and off to Lithuania, and we're also going to pray for them. Tim, last week, asked me, he said, will you give a sermon on Timothy, who I was named after, Timothy from the Bible? And so I prayed about that because I don't usually take requests for sermons. And God just like brought it to my mind that on New Member Sunday, talking about Timothy is just a really great idea. So that's what we're going to do. We're gonna talk about Timothy. So who was Timothy? He was biracial. His mother was Jewish and his father was Greek. And his father wasn't his spiritual leader. The Bible praises the sincere faith of his grandmother Eunice and his mother Lois. And he did not meet Jesus while Jesus was alive, but he served under Paul. So when Timothy was young, Paul was his mentor, and we're going to talk about that because what a great mentor to have. I mean, Paul that wrote so much of the Bible, that was his mentor. Timothy had health issues. In 1 Timothy 5, Paul advises Timothy to no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. Now, remember, Paul is not telling him to become a drunkard. He's saying to use a little wine for medicine, but that scripture does tell us that Timothy did struggle with some health issues. But Timothy had a heart for God and his kingdom work. In Philippians 2, Paul writes, I hope to send Timothy to you soon. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interest and not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proven himself like a son with his father. He has served me in the work of the gospel. Now this statement, it just shows this picture of a mentor who is so proud of his student. And he has belief that Timothy can do great things. And I love that. I love that he has the confidence that Timothy's going to follow Jesus. So not only did Timothy join Paul on his second and third mission trips, he co-authored several of Paul's letters. And Paul would often dispatch Timothy as his trusted troubleshooter. So when there was a problem, he would send him to various churches, such as the church in Corinth and Yes, thank you. I don't know why I became so tongue-tied, and I know how to say both of those words. Forgive me. According to historical accounts, and this is not in the Bible, but this is additional documents, that Timothy was martyred for his faith in around 97 AD. And so he was serving as a bishop in Ephesus, and an elderly Timothy, he confronted a pagan procession honoring the goddess Diana. And when Timothy preached against this, that he was beaten with clubs and he was stoned to death. Now, Ed and I were talking this morning, and there are different accounts of this, but he was martyred for his faith. And sometimes when you start searching in these historical documents, you might get a slightly different version, but that's basically what happened. The life of Timothy, it gives us a blueprint for Christian leadership, faith, and endurance. And so I want to talk this morning about four lessons we can learn from the life of Timothy. And the first lesson I'm going to call availability over ability. So Timothy had recognized limitations. He was young, and the Bible tells us that at times he was timid. He battled with ongoing physical illnesses. Yet God uses willing and available vessels. Darren and I were talking this morning about sometimes speaking in public is just difficult, didn't we? And Darren, with his new job, he has to go to knock on doors and you know, explain who he is and why he's there, and that he actually kind of practices that a little bit. And, you know, standing up here, sometimes I get tongue-tied like I did just now, and sometimes we feel timid. But the lesson is, do not let your age or being an introvert or not being a public speaker or a physical struggle, don't let that hold you back from serving God's kingdom. Your weaknesses allow God's strength to shine. So when I couldn't say two towns today for some odd reason, that's just letting God's glory shine. I'm joking. So the scripture I want to use for this lesson is 1 Timothy 4:12. And it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. The second lesson I'm going to call intentional training for godliness. Christian maturity doesn't happen by accident. And so just as an athlete trains his body, a believer must actively train their spirit through scripture and discipline. Growth requires daily input. We have to put down unhealthy habits and distractions and lean into prayer, to Bible study, and active obedience. And that thought of active obedience, that's really important. The more we trust and obey God, and obey him quickly as he asks us to do whatever it is, then this becomes our way of life. And, you know, we've talked about obedience before, but when we start practicing that, it just gets easier and easier because we realize that God is trustworthy. Amen? We can obey him, and it's going to be okay. The scripture that I want to use for that is 1 Timothy 4:8. And it says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value in all things, holding promise to both the present life and the life to come. The third lesson I'm going to talk about today is holding fast to sound doctrine. Paul told Timothy to guard the truth against false teachings and cultural distractions. And this requires courage, because standing up for the gospel sometimes brings opposition. We have to guard our hearts, pray for wisdom, and stay grounded in scripture. And I think in our present age that we live in, being careful about false teachers, that is not only important, but it's not always easy. We have to have discernment. We have to ask God for that discernment. Because sometimes what we hear sounds okay on the surface, but does it line up with God's word? Is it what God is truly wanting for our lives, for our church, for our country? And the scripture I want to use for that is 1 Timothy 4:16. Now, this one, I used the New Living Translation just because it was a little easier to kind of grasp what he's saying. It says, keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and of the salvation of those who hear you. And so I think having a firm grasp of what the gospel and what we are supposed to teach, not only is it important for us, but it's important for those who hear from us. And Ed and I were talking about this morning, and Linda, this morning, about when we teach, we need to really think about, is this what God intended? And not just teach something that sounds good or that people are going to like. And I think of prosperity doctrine, for example. You know, we can teach, if you do this, you're going to become wealthy. Well, God didn't promise us that. That is not one of the promises of the Bible. Now, we are promised different blessings, but becoming really wealthy is not one of those. And the last lesson that I was thinking about, I called endurance in the face of fear. Ministry and following Christ can be daunting, and Timothy naturally struggled with being timid. And Paul reminded him that the Holy Spirit does not breed fear, but rather power, love, and self-discipline. When facing hardships, we must step out in the authority and the power that God has given us. Do not shrink back when the world pushes against your faith. And the scripture for this is found in 2 Timothy 1:7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And Paul shows us some important points when mentoring new believers. He gave Timothy opportunities to serve. So he actually wanted Timothy to live out his faith, not to just listen to his teachings, but gave him those opportunities to serve. He encouraged him. And just like that one scripture that we read, he really sounded quite proud of his progress and what he was doing. He encouraged him, and he encouraged him in front of others. And he instructed him what to do, but also what to be cautious of. He wanted him to keep to the truth of the gospel. So Timothy, a follower of Jesus Christ, he started out as a biracial, timid, sickly-stomached youth, and he is used to shape the church for God's glory. God uses the weak things of the world so that through us, his grace and glory and strength may shine. God uses the willing. That song that we sang this morning, it talks about where you want me to go, I will go. We have to be willing, correct? God uses the available. Do we make ourselves available to do God's work? He uses the weak. We don't have to be some superhuman person to be able to do the work of God. God is the superhuman. God will equip us. God uses us. And he uses us because, not because he needs us, because he wants us to experience the glory of service and submission and a spirit-filled life. God wants us to be the vessel through whom he works. So whether you have been a Christ follower for decades, like Ed and Linda, or if you're just starting your journey, like Darren and Heather, I hope that you will surrender your life to Jesus and allow him to use your life in a beautiful way. God's plans for your lives are unique and beautiful. And it is our job as a church that we encourage people to use the giftings that God is giving each one of us, and to encourage us to be able to step out and do what God is asking us to do. I want to take up a special offering to bless Ed and Linda this morning and to send them on their journey.